This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here, because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
Well, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Forget that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic
of podcasting.
I mean,
you don't have to Google it. I'm just saying, you just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm gonna shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast. What's Brody in fifth grade now?
I don't know. I don't remember any of the in-between years. I'm like, there's the first year, and there's the last
when
year.
When are you not going to be at this school
and then
anymore?
They go to the next one, and then there's the first year of that one, and the last year, and then they go to the next one. And then it's like, you go to the next one, and you move the fuck out. Like, that's how it goes. And then maybe you come back and crash for a little bit, because you're like, hey, man, I need to get some shit together, because I'm just turning into a young human adult. Cool. And then you'll realize living with your parent again is like the worst fucking thing ever at someone your age, and you're like, I need a remedy to this situation. Let me go find a fucking job.
Right. Yeah. I moved my whole office around.
See that? It looks like weird. I don't like it.
There's no window. There's no window back here because the window's
like,
over
I like
here
looked
now
at the screen, and I immediately looked right through you and at your background, and I went,
that's not the same.
I was like, I don't think it's a different room, but I don't like it so far. Like, I don't like what we're working with here. This looks too sterile. Like, there's too, like, I know it's because the wall behind you doesn't have much on it or anything yet. Like, you haven't got all the decorative shit done, but like, it almost looks like you got in trouble with yourself. Like, you were like, I'm a bad boy, and you like took away all your fun shit.
Right. Now, we'll feel, now that that's like open and the desk isn't right here, which is where the desk used to be, I'll put a bunch of shit. COVID. Craft project number 750, because all we do is look for shit to fucking do that doesn't involve leaving the house. So, see that shit? Uh-huh. See the fucking little tiny goddamn pixelated colorful things?
Is that basically like a giant like light bright template?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. We even put it on like a light up panel. So you can see the letters. So all this is matching the letters that correspond to the colors to the board. That whole piece of canvas is sticky. So that's why it's got that vellum over it. You just peel it down a little bit and stick the shit to it. It's called diamond painting. I don't know. Kim was like, look at this. She's like, oh, there's Star Wars stuff. Oh, there's Star Trek stuff. I was like, okay, cool. I'll do it. I don't care. I'm learning the ukulele also while I'm not doing anything else.
Nice. My dog has fleas.
Ew, that sucks.
No, like when you tune a ukulele, like if you can do pitch and you say my dog has fleas in pitch, like that's the fucking strings. Like
they ping into it.
Yeah, cuz one of
I was like, "Well, that sucks for your dog."
Well, no, cuz like, yeah, right. Cuz fucking Aiden's mom, like her side, like used to always say that shit when the ukulele come out, and I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, because everybody would like strum it real quick and be like, my dog has fleas, like in some kind of fucking tone, right? And I'm like, are you guys trying to get pitch with like this phrase or whatever? And they're like, yeah, if you can do it right. Like, and I guess I don't know if it's one of those things like you gotta have a Hawaiian accent, and like when you say those words, like it comes out, like, you know, like, I don't know, trying to say things like in Australian with normal words and whatever, right, kind of like thing. I don't know, but yeah, it was something they always fucking said every time the ukulele came out.
That's hilarious, and it makes complete sense that your son's mom, that's what happens over at their place. Like, oops, somebody's bring out the ukulele, let's go, it's party time. You know, Fender, their website, their like training website is free until the end of the year. You can just sign up for it. You just get all access to their, like, from level zero, I've never touched the instrument, all the way to, like, I've just, like, looked through the ukulele all the way up to, like, level 5 or 6 or whatever. And it's pretty intense. So I've been doing that for the past, like, week or two. I played around on my guitar with it for a while, and I'm like, eh, let's buy a new instrument. But kind of different. Let's give it a shot. So
why am I going to use the piano or the
couple
guitars that you got?
I don't have the piano anymore anyways. The piano, the keyboard thing is gone. That's been gone for a long time.
It's been gone for a long time. You can't reference that one no more. Ugh.
Right. Don't talk about that. We don't talk about that one. That's the one we bought off of her fucking parents. They pretty much just like took our money. I was like, you guys fucking suck. It's like, you don't play this fucking thing, but no, please charge me $500 for it. This is the same my in-laws that I've been like reporting her Facebook posts like every other day because they're all like Trump crazy, like just the worst shit ever. And it's like, God, Kim's like, I blocked them today. She's like, I can't do it anymore. And I was like, but if you block them, you can't say they post, and then you can't report them like I do. I finally got one of the things she put up there wasn't just like just bullshit. It actually had misinformation in it. So like I was able to report it, and then like, you know, at the bottom it pops up like, you know, this contains false information. Click to see what's wrong with it. That kind of thing. And I was like, gotcha, bitch. It's horrible, man. I cannot wait till, well, I would say I can't wait till November 3rd, but we're not going to know till the end of the month at the earliest what the final count is. So everybody's just going to be nuts about their side winning and lighting shit on fire until they make a decision. Then whatever happens, they're going to challenge it. So it doesn't matter. It's just, you think it's bad now. Mark, after the announcement of the official announcement, it's going to be even worse. We're not ready for like the general situation in the world, in the U.S. is going to be even worse. No matter what side loses, that side's going to lose their mind, and it's going to be like pandelirium.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
So yeah, well, no one's going to. I hope they rip through the Senate and stuff too. All those folks who are up for re-election, please let half of them go because they're a shit ton of the problem.
Yeah, man, like I'm telling you, dude, like what America needs to do in just general is like instead of worrying about old people that or basically just anybody like outdated, right? Like just because you reach a certain age and like we are going through this right now with electronics, like, right? It's like at a certain point we are going, why the fuck do I need to learn anything new? Like, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? And then you just get, it's just a snowballed effect from there. Like, and certain parts of it is caring less about just the day-to-day, like, minutia of stuff. Like, do I have pants? I don't really give a fuck, right? Like, you just, those right. things. Like, and then the less it goes. But what you really need is that part to go out as well. Like, the less caring about just the everyday little annoyances, but we need to make sure they're happy, right? They're happy people, not filthy fucking rich people who are angry all the time. So if we just go ahead and somehow figure out how to make like a giant fund for early retirement and like make retirement at like 50 fucking five, like at 55, you have to fucking retire. Like your job then is to like basically do leisurely work. Like, and mm-hmm. that is it. And it's like, we're cool, man. We made this fun. Like, we got retirement island. Like, all of y'all just chill the fuck out. Relax. Life is cool. Let someone that lives in the fucking now of this age go right. handle the now. Like, you're just retire, homie. You're good. We got you. Like, don't right. worry I mean, about it.
You know, my wife and I ask ourselves, we're like, is this bad because we're actually, as you talk about, like, when folks should give it up, we're just now like giving a shit at 40 and 37. It's like, just because we're paying attention, because until then you have your fingers in your ear, you're just like, la, 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 don't care. I got too many problems that are the right here. I don't have any time to care about like the big picture shit. And like now that we're all just like kind of, all of us are like, the problem is like when I used to work from home, normally the rest of the world didn't, so folks didn't have time to focus on this shit and like magnify their opinion about it across social media. Everybody was like doing it. But now that everybody's like doing some sort of, or a lot of people are doing some sort of remote type work, and there's a lot less especially folks who are still, for lack of better terms, quarantining, i.e. staying at home and not going out and fucking vacationing and all kinds of other shit. I feel like, I'm sorry, I feel like my family, me, my family in this house right now are like the, and I know you do it too, but like are the only people in the world who are, every time I turn on Facebook, I'm like, oh, look who's gone somewhere else in public with their children with no bad, you're so awesome. Like that's fun for you. Fun.
I don't know, man, but I mean, like, that's the same thing. Like, it doesn't, like, I get it, there's a pandemic, but okay, like, on a, any other Tuesday, you would be looking at that and then seeing somebody doing something, and you would go, how the fuck do you afford that? Right? Like, that's, like,
right.
You would still have something to bitch about. It doesn't matter. And that gets me back to my point of, like, how you were going, dude, like, everybody's got something to say on the subject. And I'm like, see, this is why... Like when 6 years ago, I just cut off like Facebook, like I got off it, like, and I never fucking opened the yes. shit again. And like right. Twitter, I even now got to the point where I only hit Twitter fucking .com/explore. Like I don't even log in. I just go look at the day to day news that is generally populated and I go, huh, does anything interest me? Because I don't want to follow anybody's shit because at some point right. it leads me down some racist or fucking terribly fucking... like saddening, disheartening rabbit hole, right? And then it's like,
right.
oh, I climbed out. And then you're like, cool, I found happy puppies. But then 8 seconds later, you're like, oh shit, here's something really dark and depressing again that I'm fucking down a hole. Like, dude, I have seen outside of me going to a news place to look at the news, right. I don't see none of that shit. None right. of it. I got zippy fucking footprint in it, man. Like, I love it. Like, it is almost now, like, when I have to go into some social media site for some, basically because of my child. Like, right. I, like, go in there for, like, 8 seconds and I'm like, like, yes, dude, I'm so, like, and it's not even bad shit. It's, like, just the verbal diarrhea of, like, mm-hmm. the masses, and I'm like, you know, like, I know living in the woods isn't really a thing anymore. People can't do it. I was like, but I feel like there's going to be, like, when I'm old, not, like, middle-aged old, where I'm like, fuck, dude, I'm just caught in the middle of feeling young in my brain, and my body's like, fuck you, I'm rebelling against all things functioning, right?
Right.
There's going to be a group of people who are like me, who like dipped out on Facebook and Instagram and like Twitter just in general and kind of really never got back into it. But then there's going to be like this whole other like group that was like just totally entrenched into it. And then like our children are going to be like, oh man, you're like one of those dudes that went dark. Like you check the fuck out. Like, right. Like you're like, I'm going to be some like fucking magical little unicorn. And I'm going to be like, what came after Facebook? And they're going to be like, oh my God, like you weren't part of the transition.
They're like, no! Oh, they still make you?
Right,
you,
yeah.
People like you still exist? Yeah. You didn't fall off a cliff somewhere? Yeah. Well, then in that respect, when there's an inevitable day in our future and I call you and I'm like, you need to pack your shit right now. We have to fucking go. Like when I do that, you know that it's time to go.
Yeah, if you ever called me and did that just in general, you would probably be like one of three people that I would not question that on. Like I'd be like,
what do I need? A month, a week, a day? What are we talking about?
Yeah, I would listen to your voice and I would do the thing that no parent in TV does. Actually listens to the like tone of their child's voice when they're telling them that the creepy man with the knife is staring them over their bed and it's like sweating puddles of fucking blood on them. And they're like, oh, shucks, Johnny, you just had a bad dream. Go back to bed. I'm like, he's actually covered in blood and trembling in front of you. Like, what the fuck? Right? Like, I would listen to your voice and I'd go, oh, yeah, that's real. ETA.
Right. 2 weeks? I'll be there in 5. I'll tell you what's going on as we drive out, as okay. we get out of here.
Got it. Okay.
Right.
What's that fancy term they use for 2 weeks? A fortnight or whatever the fuck it is, right? But not the game? Okay, cool.
Oh, man. So that's our political talk for a minute. That doesn't happen that often on this show. Sometimes. We took a break again after the end of Lower Decks, after a little review of the final few episodes of that show. And we were going to jump right to Discovery, but they dropped like a... I think it was even titled Part 1, like, on CBS All Access, but then I realized that the second episode is not called the same title as the first episode at all. Like, the first one's titled The Hope Is You, and then the second episode is called Far From Home. Like, but it says Part 1 for the... Anyways, this was definitely one that we had to cover both episodes at the same time, because the first episode... I don't know, did it bother you that it was, like, the Michael Burnham show again for the first episode?
No.
Did you think they could have gone back and forth between the two?
I mean, if you wanted to, like, split these episodes, like, you would have had to film them the way they are shown, and then you would have had to go, okay, now I'm going to go cut fucking 10 minutes out of their story over here, and cut, like, 8 minutes out of their story, then I'm going to mix them together. Now I got to find a cool fade to black so it fucking intersect. Like, no. She left first. Like, mm-hmm. And they stated right there in the get-go of the show, like, hey, man, when people fucking land with time travel, we really don't know if that's, like, a second at the same time, 12,000 years apart. We just don't fucking know, right? And, like, they gave you the reasoning why. And then, it made the second episode... to me, at the very end, like, that much better, because basically you're watching it from, like, oh, shit, they just landed. Like, Michael just landed. And you find out that, like, Homegirl's been here for a whole year, which makes way more sense when you go to write stories, because it's, instead of it just being, like, everyone is like, ah, who are you? Are we, what do we do? Now, like, Michael's got a whole fucking network set up. And it's just like, she cool, we roll into up. It. Yeah. And the fact that she, like, met a Trek dude. It's like, hey, guess what? I've been rebuilding this shit over here or whatever, right? Like, now you got a thing. Like, at first I thought maybe it was they're going to land, and especially with, like, the dude she met being basically, like, I rescue animals kind of, like, guy. I was like, hey, maybe we just really get a cool, like, I heard about this endangered species alien thing, right? And then that is kind of their stick going forward while they sort out just everything in general, right? You know, being, what, 900 and some odd years in the future?
930,
yep. But now I think it's going to be more like that may be part of what they do, but it's just because the Federation is getting back. Right. Because they were the ones that protected the endangered animals, anywho. Right. So now it's just going to be kind of like, hey, look, guys, we went 900 some odd years in the future. Our thing went to shit somehow. We're going to sort that out. But I'm making it better. And look at all these people that I've already ran across that would fit the Trek mold in the future. And, like, it happened in the second episode too, right? Like,
oh man. Okay, so let's talk about a couple things. The first things that I kind of put together after watching it a couple times, when she initially, after she runs into Book's ship and they both crash land, like, the fact that she was looking for life signs, not just on the planet she was on, which probably was part of it, but the fact that there was another spaceship, which didn't mean anything because it could have been, anyways, let me get to the point. When she looked for life form and saw that there was life, it means that they stopped control from eliminating all organic life in the galaxy.
Yeah.
So the fact that there was life on the planet, it wasn't just my little pea brain with, at the beginning, just seeing it was like, oh, she's just glad she's not on a dead planet. I mean, God forbid. I mean, honestly, there's so many Class M planets floating around. You just crash land wherever and you're fine. I mean, you're okay. You land on a planet that when your suit spits you out, it's oxygen. You're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the whole, like, point of that little sequence right there for the viewer is, like, because you're caught in the moment, right? Like, you just basically kind of catch it right in the, I'm Glenn flung the fuck out, and here we are, right? Like, that's, you kind of just get thrown into her eyes of, here's the ground, right? You kind of just get that whole wreck sequence and everything. You're like, God damn, Jesus Christ. But then... no concussions, no nothing. Like, I want to know the mathematics behind whatever space protocols there were to ensure safe landings. Dude, I don't care. Right. Like if it's just super minimal, like, nanobite airbags, I don't care. Like, I just want to know what it was. Like, that. Like, the fact that, like, it withstood that kind of impact, I'm like, don't be just, like, we found adamantium. Like, we, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want somebody way smarter than me somewhere to, like, have that on Reddit somewhere. Like, you know, like, it was like, hey, by the way, on impact,
it makes a bubble shield.
This thing fucking happened. Like, and I want, yeah, like, down. I just want to read what that was. Like, I just want to know what that idea was. But yeah, like, you get so caught up in that wreck and the, like, holy shit, we just escaped, like, the evil empire, right? Like, vibe. And when she goes to search for life, you're like, oh, she's just looking for, like, is anybody here to, like, help? Because you're like, damn, man, what would I do when I landed? But then, like, as you said, you know, on the second viewing or when your fucking peanut brain, like, registered it, you go, oh, because I did the same thing. Like as she was searching for it, I was like, yeah, homegirl, make sure there's, like, some peoples out here, or, like, make sure there's no one here that can hurt you, kind of thing, right? Like, you just landed. That's the first thing I would do. Look for right. water and, like, is there life? But then, if you were, like, any kind of recollection or, like, didn't skip the, like, what just happened on Discovery, you go, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, okay, cool.
Oh, life anywhere.
Yeah, all right, so she knows that they stopped the stuff. Got it.
Right.
Cool.
That they succeeded in yes. their mission in
or
the first
at least
place.
We are led to believe.
The best, another thing that I really liked about both episodes, and it was shown both episodes, is because you're past a point in their history where there's actually been a temporal war, and, like, there was, like, time travel wars, and it's all been... So the fact that you're a time traveler doesn't surprise anybody. Like, they're mm-hmm. like, oh, that shit, like, you know, Book... I mean, the best part is, like, Book figured it out right away, but he didn't say anything. He was like, how do you not know this stuff? Like, where are you from? And he's not asking where are you from, he's asking... where are you from?
Yeah.
Like, when are you from? So, and it was, and it was quicker, the second episode with Tilly and them at the bar. But it was, you know, oh, shit, you're a time traveler. Like, that was very cool, because now we don't have to go through that, like, people don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to have the shock and awe of it anymore, yeah. right? And then, like, they also did kind of, like, the welcome to the future thing with, like, hey, let's get you back to your ship. Here's your own personal transporter, right? Like,
right.
And they kind of brought that up in the first episode when that you saw, like, the smaller, like, room version of it or, like, whatever, right? When she was geeking out, like, what? These aren't just, like, giant, like, computers that are massively the size of a room and you only take one slice of paper? Oh my god, what? Yeah,
right.
I mean, that's basically what that was right there. And I like how Trek kind of was like, yeah, we're just gonna... we're gonna get over the whole fucking, like, holodeck shit. Or, you know, like, in kind of mm-hmm. stuff. Like everything that you thought was, like, basically big and cool... is gonna almost, I guarantee now, be like some shrunken version of it, right? Just, I mean, just how electronics and things go in general. Mm-hmm. And I'm personally excited to see either one, what, like, little cool gizmos they create for replacing something that was massive or just thought of kind right. of thing. And then two, I'm very excited to, like, listen to you interpret the collective that is Trek when they butcher something that you all liked that they made new into the future, because I know that is going to happen as well.
Well, what did you think of... Okay, so the stuff that... And they mentioned it by name in the second episode, but what do you think of the whole programmable matter thing? So the stuff that the Starfleet guy was like, what his bed was made out of, and then it formed into his desk, and then it formed, like, the, you know, programmable matter is what that stuff is called. What did you think of that?
I mean, I feel like that's what everybody in the fucking world wants.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's also like, oh, you said programmable matter. So at some point, this shit's going to think for itself, and then we're almost going to have, like, the exact same thing that was just attacking us that we, like, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's just, it's like the time traveler's loop. It's like, it doesn't matter where it is. It's not time itself. It's you. You are the fucking problem. Like, as long as you exist, this weird fucking robotic empire of evil shit that can now all of a sudden look like humans and then bleed bugs and then whatever is gonna happen. Like, right? It's just that weird paradox that somehow always happens in time traveling.
I love how you go to the worst case scenario, right? I mean, of course, we just dealt with the worst case scenario in season two, so I understand where your thoughts are going. It's interesting to me. Like, it's cool because you're right. This is all tech that no Trekkie has seen. So we get to all, like, be like, do I like that? Do I like that not? I mean, does it seem really lonely that, like...
Yeah, well, it's very barren. Cool. I mean, it's the same thing when any franchise of any sorts decides to go, I'm going to do something new and not just say, okay, I'm going to take either the six stories that were already written and hash them out, right? Or I'm going to just keep with the same kind of gimmick, but I just put a new color on it, right? Like,
right.
To me, like, that should be fun for everybody, even whether the idea hits or not, right? Like, as long as I get it if you're upset when they say, I don't know, something tried and true that you loved, like The Badge, right? And then they just fucking come out of left field with, like, hey, here's the new logo because we're in the future. And you're like, whoa, I mean, like, that was symbolic, homie. Like, you don't... Right. I mean, do you fuck with perfection? Like, whoa, what are you doing here, right?
Hey, cool little tidbit about that. So when she first opens her thing and she goes through her, like, checklist of stuff she has and she calls it a Delta Shield, that's always been the term for it in the fandom, but it had never been spoken the world of Star Trek.
Never been spoken into existence until
right, they
now.
They never called it what it was. So her calling it a Delta Shield, like, made that.
Yeah, see, like, I feel like
official.
Every Trekkie should just love Burnham at this point because she's basically the lady that has gone and made things that weren't canon that people wanted canonized canon everything. And, like, was like, hey, guess what? Boom! It's real now! You got it! Like, I mean, just... And I thought her first episode was awesome because everyone's so used to more, like, stick up her ass, like, gotta get it done, save the world, Burnham. And the fact that they just dosed her with fucking a happy narcotic at the get-go and just made her basically goofy the whole first episode. But you also got to see, like, how silly she is, but how insanely smart she is keeping her bearings on, like, this shit, you know, most of the time.
Let's dig into that a little bit. Okay, so even before she got high, which is hilarious, and we'll get to there, she crash-landed in that spacesuit, had to emotionally get herself to start moving. Like, okay, I gotta walk. Like, walk. Let's go. You get shake that shit out and let's go. And then she whoops his fucking ass. She whooped his ass after traveling through time and being half dead in a fucking crater. She whooped his ass. And I was like, what else do you need, guys? I was like, she's gonna
fucking
destroy.
Are you not entertained?
Like, I know. She let him have it. I mean, that was the best part. And she's holding the equivalent to him of, like, a musket to his face. Mm-hmm. He's like, will you get that ancient shit out of my face, please?
Yeah. He's like, you're going to shoot me and that's going to hurt. Like, don't right. do that.
And then you get, when she's high, like, number one, she had to have a blast, like, doing those scenes because she was so, like, as animated as she got and, like, her giggles and laughs and the shit where the joke where she was like, I have a friend with red hair. You cannot give her this. Like, that, that I was like, oh, now I have to kind of see that now. Like, because I'm not sure if we could recover from that. But still, like, being that fucked up and then walking out, punch him in the mouth, and then her and him took on eight fucking people and, like, they were surrounded by them, took them out, got hidden, all the explosions, had the wherewithal to grab the dilithium they didn't have, you know, all that shit. And then
well, you had, like, he basically had like the whole, like, drunken master routine, right? Like,
right,
just
right from the Jackie Chan movie.
Yeah. Yeah, just,
right?
Like, you're so, like,
loosey goosey, you can do it. You can pick anything.
Right. Or what was the movie, like, Beer Fest, when he's like, I don't know how I got there, but then he gets all hammered again. And it's like, you know, you drunkenly, because you've learned something, when you get back into that state, you cognitively kind of, like, pick back up on. I'm not saying you know it, right? But like, it doesn't happen when you're sober. Never fucking does. Like a thousand times out of a thousand times. But you hit that right level of tipsy or like party drunk, and you go, it's all like aligned and just.
Can we also bring up the fact that during that fight and the subsequent like teleport or transporting you know maneuvers together that they murdered a shit ton of people like her and him the part where they were beaming in and as they were beaming in they were just fucking annihilating them. I was like, this is a body count today. Like, this is a body count.
Yep.
Just to transport to your death. Like, you as you materialize, there's the wave of whatever that disintegrate. And that thing was like it made you like, and like, it wasn't like you burned away. You like dematerized. Like, it was like, it was like flowy, like almost like pieces of fabric that it like turned you into. I was like, what? Is like I need to.
Yeah,
here's
like,
my thing.
It's like it peeled everything off, and then you just saw like the actual DNA strands like falling away. Like it was weird. And I mean, credit to the guys that came up with that death idea, right? Like, because you've seen vampires get staked and splattered, but then all of a sudden
you've seen disruptors in Star Trek where you like literally burn into. Into nothing.
It's yeah, right. Like there's all kinds of cool ways to make a body essentially disappear. This one was different. Like, and I remember going. I mean, I've seen I've seen a lot of people die like with this wave or stake or whatever it may be, and then your body itself does something. I was like, but this one, the other ones look like you just went and then you were done. Like this one looks like you felt it. The whole way through. Like, there was no... Even though it seemed quick, the death itself was not quick. Right?
Right. What else about the first episode? So, back to our topics about the future tech. So, one thing that I love about Star Trek is that at some point throughout the history of the canon, someone has stood on screen and explained to me in jargon that makes sense because you understand that it's science to them and it's real to them how shit works. So now that you're introducing me to new tech, once we all get a chance to take a breath, I need a Stamets, or when it's medical, I need a Culber, or Burnham with now she's been there for a year. Like, I need somebody to stand there and give me the 30 seconds of jargon that in my Star Trek mind is going to tell me how certain things work, how the personal transporter work, what that gun does and what the settings are like. And when it's disruptor, like it pretty much just dematerizes your body. Like, I don't, you know, I need someone to tell me what the new tech does. The programmable matter. What is the base? Like, what is it, you know, what is it coming from? Where is that matter coming from? You know, I need them to do all. Now they have to do all of this exposition, explaining of the tech to us as well. Because I could take it as is. Like, you could do something and show it to me, and I could just be like, okay, awesome. But then at some point, we're gonna take a breath and go, okay, here's how that awesome works.
Yeah, but that's only because that is what Trek has done. Like, Trek is
a future version of this timeline.
Yeah,
that we're in, kind of.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, Trek's always explained it in basically like a cool layman's way, right?
Right. Star Wars is like, no, it's just magic. It's the Force. And then when they tried to explain it and say it was midichlorians, the fan base lost their fucking mind. They're like,
yeah, like,
like, you don't have to explain it. It's the Force. It doesn't need to be explained. You're right. It doesn't. But on Star Trek, we need it explained.
Yeah, we'll see, like, well, that's the difference, though. Like, the Force, when you say it's just the Force, like, it doesn't matter. It could be science tied into the Force. It could be just somebody having the right mojo with the Force. It could just be, like, someone was so angry that, like, they tuned into, like, that pitch of the Force. It made sense. But now when you're like, oh, yo, homie, it's these little things in your body. And guess what? If you got more of them, You got stronger. more force power, right? Like, and it's so then you basically just go, so it's genetics. It's just where and how on the random fucking flip of a thing like it is right now. But we just somehow hyped it up to superpowers. Like, then just call it evolution, motherfucker. Like, goddamn. Like,
right.
You know, like, hey, guess what? You know what happened?
Yeah, but see, evolution applies to one species. When you have the Force, it's anybody in the galaxy. But
that's what I'm saying. You could even fix that, too. Guess what? We met space people. You know what will you do when you find something that's kind of sexy? You try to fuck it. You always try to fuck it. Like, that is just what humans do. Like, it's kill, conquer, fuck it. Like, that is what we do. We're going to make the Force somehow. There was going to be interbreeding going on.
Yo, girl, we going to make the Force.
Yes, yes. That is what would happen.
Right. Very true. Okay, so let's see. What else we? Let's see. What else did they touch on in the first episode? Do you like Book so far? I like that he's a race, of course, we've never seen. I like his cool, like, earth power.
Yeah, he's basically like Aquaman. A shaman type. And
fucking, Captain Planet.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's like Aquaman, Captain Planet, and like a shaman.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a whole bunch of, like, on their own useless characters, right? Or like the dude that is like the fifth on the super squad, but he somehow manages to roll them all into one. And so you're kind of like, oh, you're just like a supernatural stud at this point. Like, all right, cool. Got it.
Right.
Yeah.
And watching the interview with the actor, he alluded to the fact that there's more to see of his quote unquote power, whatever that is he can do. So there's more, like, we haven't, like, it's not just growing shit out of, like, we're going to see a lot more of that this season, of what he can do with that. So I'm intrigued about that. I love the cat. Grudge is the shit. I like Grudge. It's a big ass cat, and he's awesome. And he's got a fucking Twitter account, and I know you're not on Twitter, but what you should do is go to your Twitter account and just follow that cat. Because that cat shit is fucking hilarious on Twitter.
Nope, I'm okay. I'm okay.
I think it's Grudge_the_cat.
I honestly think the only way I would ever truly be engaged in any kind of social media in any way, shape, or form now at this point is if I was getting paid like a fuck ton of money, and basically part of my job then is to have social media accounts. And even then, I'd probably treat that shit like Nick Offerman and be like, okay, I'm just going to post this shit and never reply to fucking anything unless on the off Tuesday I go, I like that guy's shit. I'm going to make his dream happen and then be done with it and then go back to dead silence. Like, right? Like,
right.
Yeah. No, I, nope.
But I like the new, I like Book. I like the fact that he's going to join her in her little, you know, it's more than likely in the end of the second episode, it's his ship. She shows up in with him more than likely, unless not. I mean, more than likely she's hanging out with him. He seems to be hip to her, you know, mission, and she can help, and she can also hold herself in a fight. So that's always nice. He likes the cut of her jib.
I'm gonna start referring to like a woman's essence as her mission now. I'm gonna be like, you know, he really jives with her mission. Like, you know, man, she's got a nice mission. Like, I like her mission. Like, I'm just gonna just use that.
Turn around. Let me see that mission as you walk away, girl.
Damn, girl, that's a nice mission. Shit.
All right, second episode, or second half of the pilot of the you know premiere, which is what it should have been, in 2 hours long and all in the same day. Damn it, because I wanted to see everybody else. Like, I love Michael Burnham. I like her character. I like what's going on. But like, they've done a good job of making me love a lot of other characters. When like the first episode ended, I was like, okay, I understand the fucking Burnham show. Cool. Like, okay, but now I got to wait a whole another fucking week. So
yeah, but that helps with like the way the story is. Like, if they both would have, like, if she would have came flying in and then a giant ass ship like right behind them, it's just basically then you have like a whole episode of everyone going, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm okay. Let's go figure it out, right? Like, at least now you can just, you got to see everybody's problem, and then you know all of the infrastructure that would need to take place during a whole season has now been set up with a whole year of the nice discrepancy of leaving at the same time and landing at literally a different time, you know, and place. Like,
you know, God forbid that wormhole open up into any of the infinitely vastly empty portions of space. It's real shit move for that wormhole to open up in front of two planets. Like, oh, by the way, you're coming through here and you're gonna fucking crash land right a fucking way. Like, they, you know, they both, you know, when Burnham leaves it, she's crashing the planet, and when the ship comes, they're like, and this is a busted up planet, and, you know, Detmer pulls a fucking flying gamma hooch or something and, you know, turns that thing on its head and cools it down, and when they come busted through the, I mean, there's some good effects both episodes, but the second episode, the crash landing of the Discovery, that was pretty fucking wild.
Yeah, that was like, that was on par with like a movie. Like, yeah, like when the ship was going down and they were showing it from
when it came like, through from that the asteroid. Ground
and like, yeah, when you were watching the wreck, because even like I went you know, Trek didn't fuck around with this one. I was like, that's some detail of that ship going down right there, especially you when you were watching the rocks like from the outside of the ship, like just watching it eat into the earth right there in front of it. I was like, they put some time into that.
I love the idea of picking a icy area and then blasting that shit with phasers right before you hit to like break it up, so it's more just like landing on, you know, nice squishy like smaller particles, not just like a flat smack landing into the hard, you know, frozen surface. I like the idea of shooting the phasers at the very end.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. Basically,
like them fucking dudes that train to be those like downhill fucking ski jumpers. You know, when they go doing all them like twirls and shit off those fucking jumps. So mm-hmm. when they go train, because it's not like they just switch hemispheres in the middle of the year so they can go find fucking snow somewhere. They go off those goddamn like tube rollers that go like down the slopes, and then as they're flipping, they land in those fucking pools, and then they kick the bubbles on right before they fucking hit the ground and shit. So it's all nice and soft. So when they go into the water, yeah.
Damn. I'll tell you what that it was. So Discovery. So this season of Discovery was, if not the first, one of the first shows that finished its filming or hadn't started its post-production until the pandemic started. So all of the post-production that happened this season happened in pandemic conditions. So all that, you know, you said it was movie style. That's what happens when you let the CG guy go home and put that shit on his machine that he's got at his house. So he's like, y'all gave me this bullshit at work. Watch this. Like, watch what I got at the house. They just like,
right. Or it's just the fact that like, they're just home. Right, like,
right. They were able to like relax and like, well, I'm putting some more work into this.
I mean, like,
I'm gonna tweak around on this a little bit.
I'll be sitting up. I'll be playing a game. I'll be like watching a show. One of the two will get boring, and I'm like, I can't sleep. And like, I just grab work and I just start doing it, you know. Right. And I'm just like, well, tomorrow's done. Cool. I mean, it makes it easy peasy the next day or whatever. But dude, those kind of guys are creative in general, so they're always like tinkering with shit in general. I'm home for 18 hours a day basically with no fucking like set schedule, and then their whatever time to go do anything else, like they're gonna just be like, I made a rock that when I looked at it and printed it and showed it to people, they thought it was a real rock from their own house.
Right.
I copied it that fucking well. Like, you know what right. I'm saying?
Any
like,
boss, yeah. Any boss that doesn't realize that if you have good employees, you're going to have even better employees when they go work from home, because the stress of the day isn't there. The commute isn't sitting in the back of their head.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. Fucking good work has nothing to do with being in the office at all. It has to be whether you're just a good worker in general, like, that right. and that if you and also liking your job helps, but there's also that point in any job, whether you like it or not, that you are not going to fucking like it, and you still right. need to be able to work, right? Like, not somebody that just goes, fuck you, John, I'm out.
Right, right.
Okay. Oh.
But okay. Yes, post-production on this, on both these episodes, on point with cinema quality. Absolutely. A couple of the personal stuff. Let's go through the crew, and see what we're dealing with. Let's start with the minor ones. The minor ones we know we're going to have problems with. So first off the bat, Detmer. Something is up with her. Something affected her coming through the wormhole, because when she went to sick bay, she didn't have a concussion. Nothing that the doctor could, like, scan and find.
Yeah, but didn't she get all fucked up in, like, the last episode, like, possessed or whatever by that shit? Didn't they, like, scan her eyeball, or am I thinking, like, another?
No, that was the android girl, and that's been. We don't know what's going on with Detmer, but it's, and it could be something as easy as they're going to do a PTSD person, which is fine. Like, they bring that to light in Hollywood more these days than they used to, and they usually do a pretty good job of portraying that. I mean, even like Iron Man 3, like that whole movie was about his PTSD from carrying the nuke through New York and all that shit, you know, and the stuff he's dealt with. So, I mean, I don't mind seeing it in cinema. If that's what it is, great. They'll have her be able to, you know, work through that kind of stuff. Do you think Tig Notaro, what's her character's name? What's the funny?
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy.
The comedian. She's the one. She's the snarky comedian that's in the back. The engineer who was going with Stamets and had the back problem. I forget her character's name. Jet Reno. I was like, they could have written one less of the back jokes, like on the bridge, because it came into play later on and it was hilarious. But like on the bridge, I was like, yes, we know your back fucking hurts. Like, okay, just stop with all the, like, we know you twisted your back. See, everybody else on the bridge seems to be okay. Reese and, what's all their names? Owo is okay. Bryce is okay. So everybody else seems cool. So it's Detmer's got the issue. And then you get Giorgio coming in with the bits of Leland on her shoe. like it's cool that we watched Lower Decks, because we caught a glimpse of a Lower Decker during this episode. And he's the dude who's scooping the bits of Leland into the bucket in the thing. I'm like, dude, there's a whole show about guys like you. Like, just at the,
yeah,
at
like,
just
the, I like bottom. How he, like, corrected her. And he's like, my name's, she's like, I've already forgotten that.
That's going to be my response from now on, because literally in my head, you know, in a professional setting, when I used to go to shake someone's hand, which I do, I'll never do that again. But you know, you're like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And they tell your name, and I'm like, as I'm shaking, I'm like, I didn't listen to a word you just told me. It's like, I don't even know what you said.
Yeah, I'm the worst. I'm the worst with names. Like if I don't interact with you like on a regular basis, and even if I interact with you on a semi-regular basis, but you're just like the dude that pops in, you are probably like, yo, what's up, homie, buddy, guy?
Hey, man.
Yeah, like
I'm awesome with the hey man, how you doing? Like, I don't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I know your face.
Or if I'm like curious, I'll like do the hey, introduce somebody, but like never introduce them. You know, I'll be like, yo, hey, have you met Kim? And then like Kim will stand up and be like, hi, I'm Kim. And then they'll be like, oh, hey, I'm Chris. And I'm like, ah, Chris, that's the
like, that's what it's freaking. I did that shit all the time.
God damn it. I knew it. All right.
Yeah, that's the worst, introducing somebody by the wrong name.
Yeah, don't do that shit, dude. You set the other person up for the introduction. You're just like, hey, have you met blah, blah, blah? Let them go. Like, don't, you don't need to lead all the time. That's what makes a great leader. But when you think you lead, gotta lead all the time, and you don't know that motherfucker's name, and you go, hi, this is Kim. Kim, this is, oh, you're fucked now there, leader man. Yeah.
Like, man, I forgot your name. Uh-huh. I have no clue.
Yep. Now you just look like a dick.
Yeah, it was weird that they were. They were all knocked out and like eyes open, knocked out. I was like, ugh, that's creepy. This is creepy. You don't need to lie down with your eyes open. That's everybody too. That is horrible. Stamets and Culper seem to be on the mend, and that's nice. They gave those guys. Those guys have been through hell the past two seasons. They deserve to be the sweetest, most affectionate couple for this whole season. This whole season, the only thing that I want to be assured of and know exactly how it's going to be is them having the greatest relationship ever. That's exact. That is how.
Like, it, I need one. Be, I need one year where they have like a genuine. Like, work can be work, but outside of work needs to be a honeymoon. All right, like, don't
right.
don't fuck these guys over anymore. Like, please don't.
Absolutely. Those poor. Yeah, it needs to be one liner jokes. Like the one this episode where he's like, I need you to get out of there so I can kill you.
Yeah.
Like I need that to be the length of their stuff. That's it. They need to have the most perfect season ever. Who else? So Giorgio. Oh, no, I'm glad that I forgot that Nan made it. The girl with the breathing apparatus on the side of her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The one that went with Giorgio. Because I watched the last two episodes before the season started. So I watched the last two episodes of season two. And like, you know, that's the yum yum girl. When Giorgio's like, you want to help me make Leland scream? And she's like, yum, yum. And I'm like, where the fuck did that come from? It's like, that was the greatest line ever. Yeah, she's there. So she's cool. So yeah, that's the main cast. So then let's bring it to Saru and Tilly, our favorite girl in the whole world, who still is on point this episode. Love her to death. Still love her to death. You know. She's getting brave out there. She's like, I'm scared, but I'm gonna fucking do it. So they roll out to the. I mean, I can't call it. It's a saloon because it's even got fucking the swinging doors like a saloon. I mean, it was one thing. It was like one step from like a tumbleweed blowing by as they were like, you know, walking through the doors after being transported up to it, I guess. You know, so they meet the guys on this planet to get, she's already done the scan. She knows there's no dilithium in any of the ships, which we haven't even talked about the burn yet, which we can talk about in a minute. She meets the dude. He's making like the program. I love and hate how they set up that dude where he's like, he had all that. You were looking at this, the standard Star Trek trope of like, oh, do I have what it takes to be in Starfleet? That's the way that guy was talking to her as he was making her thing with the matter. And then, like, the big bad, and I say big bad because this dude is not, like, he's not scary. He's just a bully. You know, I hope he's not, like, the big bad for the whole season because he's not scary. He's not believably scary. He's just a dick, you know? So you're not, like, even killing that dude, which... I don't know if, like, since the burn, like, technology has gone down, but you've got to get shot a lot by that gun to die. Like, a lot.
I feel like he was, like, because the last guy he shot, like, he just left it on him. You know what I'm saying?
There's definitely, like, amount of time, right.
You know, like, but, I mean, What's-Her-Face is also under, God knows, like, what kind of training and other, like, skin grafts, like, crazy bonkers shit she's probably done to, like, super soldier herself.
Let's not forget her sexual prowess. And she loves a little bit of pain, I believe, anyway, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, she made the comment, like, what you call pain, I call foreplay, so. She was ready to fucking rock and roll after that. But, yeah, like, when he's like, I'm gonna make this last or fucking, like, you know, and just, I was like... You know, I just, if you're going to be a bad guy and you're going to kill somebody, just kill him. Like, because.
Right. The minute you gave her a chance.
Like, I want a movie that, like, calls that out. Like, right? Like, and it's the number two guy that steps up. Like, they kind of did it in Guardians of the Galaxy when he's like, I'm Taser Face. And they kind of just make fun of him. You know, they're like, that's right. Your name. Like, that's going to strike fear into people. But, yeah, like, I want the bad guy to be like, I'm going to make this last. We're going to kill John or whatever and, like, go to wound him. And then number two is like, haven't any of you ever seen a fucking movie before? And, like, kills him and then just kills that guy. And then now we're like, oh, we got a real bad guy. Okay, let's see what the fuck this is about then.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. Yeah, it's like, let's set up this big, long, elaborate killing thing just for him to escape from. I just love how she calls it. Where she's like, no, you should be asking me why. Like, because he's the one that's good, because he's the one that just got you killed.
Mm-hmm.
I wish she'd had a one-liner before she snapped his neck. I wish she'd been like, I told you, snap. Like, that'd have been even better. Like, that'd have been the best. But, you know, of course, his being let to go. And even though, yes, we know there's the parasitic ice out there, and I won't even last the night. Like, I feel like him saying that, he knew he had a backup plan. But so I'm sure we're going to see him again, and he's going to throw a monkey wrench into something. But yeah, you know, it's Star Trek. If you don't see them turn into vapor paste or whatever the fuck happened in the first episode, like, they're coming back to fuck with you later on. So, you know, I understand that we're dealing with a lawless society now. The burn has practically made it's sectioned everybody off in the galaxy. Unless you have the means and the finances and the materials to find dilithium, what's left of dilithium in the universe, then you're not going very far very fast. Book even lists it off, like quantum slipstreams are something, trilithium, he's like, don't get me started on that shit. Solar cells are too fucking slow. And then he mentions that the Gorn destroyed 2 light years of subspace, which if I understand Star Trek science right, that means there's a 2 year what it takes for that is it what they take for them to travel 2 years, and it's a large chunk of space that you have to travel through at impulse speed because you can't slip into subspace to go faster than to hit the warp speeds, so you have to travel at impulse, which blows. So there's a whole chunk where during whatever happened, they fucked up subspace, which, I mean, they touched on some of that kind of stuff in, I think, the end of Next Generation, or maybe it was the end of DS9, but there was times where they were limiting folks in the Federation to a certain warp speed because it was having an effect on subspace, and like it was like tearing holes in sections and messing stuff up. So that's kind of cool. I like when they drop little things like that. And the fact that she's like, wait, the Gorn, and I'm like, wait, you're not gonna go on the fact that 2 light years of subspace is fucked up? Like, is that, I don't know if that means like it's what takes them 2 years to travel across. I have no clue, but there's all kinds of cool future stuff to learn. And the fact that the burn, that all the dilithium or a large portion of the dilithium in the universe just exploded one day, so you have all these so that's, of course, that's what rips Starfleet to shit and every other culture. That's all everybody's using. They had started using trilithium a little bit, but apparently, as Book mentions, it's nothing they want to fuck with. I don't think it's as stable as they thought it was going to be. So now dilithium is this, you know, the most valuable thing in the world, and the Discovery is rolling around with metric tons of it. I don't know, a shit ton of it, enough to run that ship for a long, long time. And the fact that they have, if they have what's her name's technology of recrystallizing dilithium, which, well, you know, Book mentioned the recrystallizer as well, that it was offline or some shit too. So they have the method of recrystallizing dilithium, but the amount that's there, it's a finite amount that's in the universe. So it's nice that they landed there in the future with like $1 billion on their ship, like to barter with, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so very convenient.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to have some of that plot armor, baby.
Yeah. I mean, that's with any, like, well, I mean, really, that's with like any story. Like, how are you not going to like write something where they just, that's there, right? Like, I needed string. They looked to their left. There was string in the drawer. Like, right? Okay, cool. Sweet. Otherwise, the story would have just fucking stopped. Like, sometimes you need that shit to happen.
Thank God there's always that drawer in the kitchen that has the knives in it. And you find it first.
Right.
First or second. Right. So, a major shift, of course, from Lower Decks, the feel and everything. You seem to be more involved. You seem to be more, you like Discovery. As a non-Trekkie, you enjoy it because it is a good show.
Yeah, Lower Decks can fuck off, man. This shit's trash. Such a terrible, terrible fucking animated
show. It was not a good idea for us to review a cartoon, no matter what it was based on. So, yeah. No, it's good. It's real good. I enjoyed both episodes together. Like I said, I was a little bit perturbed. I didn't get to see at least what happened with the crew just a little bit in the first episode, but it held in there. And I'm excited
didn't you
to see
say,
where
like,
the
they
season
came out like on the same. No, you had to wait like. Oh no, you said they came out a week apart. I thought you said they came.
Yeah,
out
they
the
just
same night.
Yeah. Part one is just that hope is you. I don't know why they're calling it part one. It's not part one. That was just, I don't know. I think CBS had it listed wrong. Like it was a, I think because they didn't show the other half, they're like, this has to be a part one, right? I don't know, but yeah. So overall, good start to the season. Everything is set up nicely. I like the fact that it's a 13-episode season. So we have a good solid like 11 episodes that are going to be good. They've set us up. There's very little we need. You know, now we need to figure out what happened to the Federation, what to do with Discovery, you know, what's going on in the world right now. And that's the thing for the season. And also, let's find out all the cool new tech and, you know, what else is out there, whatever's happened since then. It'll be fun learning the history. It'll be fun if they actually reference. I wonder how. No, because the Federation will have their databases. So we may even get references to stuff, you know, from Next Generation. I mean, the temporal Cold Wars is from DS9, I think, and also definitely Enterprise, like the Scott Bakula one. The temporal Cold Wars, where they had folks that were traveling back and forth trying to stop things from happening, is pretty cool. So, but yeah, good out of the gates for the first two episodes. I'm impressed.
Yeah, no, it was a good show. I liked them both.
We will be back. Hopefully next week with episode 3, we'll see. Every once in a while, we had to take a break. But yeah, episode 3 is next week, and we'll see where the Discovery crew finally all together again takes us. Until then, thank you everybody who listened to the end and anybody who listened to past the political talk. I'm not sure how much of that I'm going to leave in the show, but I'll leave some of it in there. But yeah. You know we get to the show at some point. And thanks for listening this long. We'll catch you guys next week.
See you guys.